We
there
were
we go.
Supposed to have, okay, so hold on. So we were supposed to do this thing where we talk about our sponsor, AT&T. Then the music was supposed to start playing. I am in shambles. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I'm confused. I'm upset. I'm nervous. I'd like to thank Hell Yeah for the song they gave us, Human. That's a new song. I'm really happy they gave it to us. I'm in shambles, Danny.
I don't know. It says no startup audio right here on my screen.
That sons of biscuits. Oh man.
I don't know if you heard, but I heard startup audio. I don't know if you guys heard it.
You know what? I think there was startup audio. All right, so listen, okay guys, just pretend that the music hasn't played yet, and then I'm gonna do like my real official voice, and then then I'll hum a few bars from Human by Hell Yeah. And then we'll segue into After Raw Radio. Are you guys ready? Danny, give me the countdown like the British lady on Blog Talk Radio does.
Your show is scheduled to start in 3, 2, 1.
Make the boop noise.
Beep.
Hey, fanatics, could you use up to $650? I know Danny and myself can. Well, that could be all yours if you switch to AT&T right now. Follow the link on our website. Switch to AT&T, trade in your phone, and bam, $650. It's all in your pocket. Visit our site or your local store. AT&T, rethink possible. And then the music is supposed to play. And then it's, you know, the guy from Mudvayne and Vinnie Paul, and it's a super group. And then they play Human, and then it's over. And we're like, oh, welcome to After Raw Radio. And that's how it's supposed to be, right?
That's exactly how it was. That's how we planned it.
It's amateur hour over here on Blog Talk Radio. Fans, listeners, podcast downloaders, perpetual wrestling fans and friends of ours, thank you for listening tonight. If you're with us live, awesome. If you're not, thank you for your download and your support. This is After Raw Radio. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Mark Nesko. With me, as always, one of my hetero life mates, Big Danny Bennett.
Yeah.
This is it. Okay, so we got a lot going on. Yeah, I feel like, you ever see that meme of Mr. Crab where he's like sitting at a table and everything around him's like spinning? That's how I feel right now.
Yeah, I'm at a loss of words, honestly. Like, Battleground was awesome. So we go from the draft, which we were like, meh, kind of lackluster. And then we talk about it for 2 hours. And then the draft was pretty good. And then Battleground comes.
Turns out draft wasn't too bad. Turns out we got them all right. Okay, well, hey, you know what? I'm willing to eat a sock. I'm willing to eat my hat on this one. Okay, so the draft itself, the picks, which we went over, we did the analysis last week. If you folks didn't get a chance to, make sure you check out that show. We had a 2-week hiatus for the 4th of July and Danny's house trying to explode. But we did a really awesome draft evaluation. Talked about who our big surprise picks were, evaluations of the higher ranked picks. We kind of went through them in depth, gave you our play-by-play on what we thought was interesting about that draft. So make sure if you didn't get a chance to download that, to check that out, because it's a really cool show. And I was really happy that we did it. But right now, it all kind of makes sense. I think the draft itself was fine. The picks were fine. The issue that I had, it was with the presentation, I think, if that
with
makes
the,
sense.
Yeah, we were all on the Cesaro train after his promo. I think that was pretty much everybody's issue with it, is that, like, we had this big draft and everything's going to change and oh my God, and how are Mick Foley and Stephanie going to get along?
We got our answer tonight on Raw of how this is going to go. What we're going to talk about, what did we do in Aftermath Radio where we talked about Battleground last night? But then Blog Talk Radio only gives us 2 shows a week to screw around with you guys. So we have to limit it. So we decided to do the first Raw of the new era, the kickoff, and then the first SmackDown. So you're going to get 2 shows from us this week. You're going to get our Raw and somewhat a little bit Battleground analysis. And then you're going to get our SmackDown analysis tomorrow. Because if there's any indication of what SmackDown is going to be like tomorrow,
holy
crap. I think Michael Cole said it best. Good luck, Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, following this show tonight. Because we're in full-on not screwing around mode. There's no hyperbole in this statement. Battleground was a good pay-per-view last night. I enjoyed it quite a bit. There is almost certainly a match of the year candidate that came out of it. So let's talk about Battleground for a little bit. Let's talk about some highlights. What were the big moments at Battleground for you?
Well, aside from the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn match, which was absolutely phenomenal.
Absolutely. 5-star match.
Yeah, I mean, we got Bayley. You open up the show with Bayley. And then she tweets out and says, "Sorry, guys, this was a one-time thing. I'm not being called up yet." Pop the balloon.
Bump.
Thanks. Damn it.
That was a cool bopping noise.
Thank you. I did it with my finger and my mouth.
I'm sure you do a lot with your finger and your mouth. That was a great introduction for Bayley. The crowd was already very invested in her. Huge, huge pop for her. The chance, "Hey, we won some Bayley," were in full effect. And for me, and I'm not an emotional human being, but Sasha Banks is in her boss motif. She is in her character, one of the baddest women on the planet. And she's standing in that ring, and Bayley's music hits, and the smile on her face was so insanely genuine and touching. That's the only word I can use to describe it. That it made me almost get choked up when that happened. It was the same thing when Sasha won the NXT Women's title, or when Bayley won it, where there were tears and everybody was very emotions on their sleeve. This was one of those matches when they were hugging at the end of the match. For those of you that didn't get a chance to watch it, Sasha and Bayley were successful over Charlotte and Dana Brooke. This was a wonderful moment for the women's division. And the word on the grapevine is that Bayley will be brought up soon. She's just going to finish her commitments in NXT, specifically her rematch with Asuka.
Yep, and I'm assuming that's exactly what it's going to be. And I'm still thinking that she's probably going to go to SmackDown.
I would think so as well.
Because they have a huge hole there. But who knows? Something could happen tomorrow night.
I feel like it's slight overload to have Bayley and John Cena on the same show? Kinda. Because they both fill a very similar niche. But again, Bayley operates on a different level than other superstars. She is the most infectious, fun, and just heartwarming superstar that WWE has produced in many, many years. I'm a tremendous fan of her work. So seeing her last night was just delightful. Absolutely wonderful way to kick off the show. And then, you know what? I will mention beforehand that in the kickoff show, Breezango and whatnot, they beat the Usos.
Yeah, which was strange.
Did not expect it. I 100% expected the Usos to get the win on this, but they didn't. And, there was kind of like a theme that I was joking about a few months ago when we were doing a few shows. And it was almost like if you expected somebody to win, it was like WWE was kind of turning the tables on you a little bit. And this was one of those situations where you go in with the expectation, okay, of course the Usos are going to win. How can they not win? And then Breezango, who is a very obscure tag team, gets the 1-2-3 and completely flips that on its head, making them an immediate, contender to be considered a serious tag team.
Yeah, it was definitely a shocker. I like how it ended to where it didn't make the Usos look weak.
The roll up.
So I was okay with that. As far as, the Usos are really one of your biggest legitimate tag teams on SmackDown. So Yeah, they can't lose, but you got to make sure that they lose with style.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's see what else we got here. We got the Wyatts, the pseudo end of the Wyatt family, with Braun Strowman being drafted to Raw and Bray and Eric being drafted to SmackDown. What we got here tonight was sort of the last hurrah for this iteration of the Wyatt family, where Braun Strowman is going to be moving on his own, and Bray and Eric, possibly down the line, Luke Harper might return, will be moving together on SmackDown.
Yep. Interesting, right?
So, New Day losing this match, what does that mean for them?
You know, I'd be lying if I said that I thought it meant anything, to be totally honest with you. And the reason why I can say that is because New Day stayed together and the Wyatts didn't. Braun Strowman's on his own. You got Rowan and Bray. I mean, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow night, but I'm assuming that they're both going to be singles competitors.
Right.
I mean, you know, and going forward, you know, with Raw tonight, there was no indication of anything, any ramifications to them losing or anything. So I really don't think that it was a big deal for them to lose.
I'd like that the Wyatts won. The Wyatts traditionally are pay-per-view losers. You know, there's always that same thing that we go back to. Well, the Wyatts, they're bigger than wins and losses. But, you know, to an extent, that's not true. And to be a feared tag team, to be this dominant, terrifying, you know, skin-crawling force, you can't lose every match. I'm sorry. It's not possible. You know, unless you're like the Big Show and you're 7'3", and, you know, like he was joking, oh, I haven't won a match. I've won 3 matches in 7 years or whatever. Unless you're a spectacle, you have to actually win matches in order to be considered legitimate and frightening. So the fact that the Wyatts as a trio were able to defeat the New Day, who are arguably the most popular trio, I can't think of any other group that was a three of, maybe the original version of DX where it was China, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels, that it was ever as popular as the New Day has been.
Yeah, New Day, it's like they can't do anything wrong.
They can't. They can't. And it's so funny when you see how far the New Day have come. When you look at what they were 2 years ago when it was the doing the preacher gimmick and the power positivity, and, you know, we were doing the show and we were like, these guys are heels. Like, are we just missing something here? And as soon as they started embracing that and the audience got behind them and it just became this, you know, larger than life, they have their own cereal now, Boudia. It's a real thing.
I will be buying a box.
This is not a drill. This is happening.
We need to make sure. Yeah, we need to make sure that I'm not booty. So I'm going to go ahead and buy a box.
Make sure you ain't booty. But this was a good win for the Wyatts. This was not a bad loss for New Day. And it was a good send-off for the Wyatts to say, you know, we're strong. Yes, we're splitting up, but we are still a force to be reckoned with. So I really liked that the Wyatts got the win in this. Next, we got Rusev and Ryder, which I think Zack Ryder came out of this match, even though he lost, I think Zack Ryder came out of this match looking fantastic. And I think Rusev in victory is right back to pre-WrestleMania 31 form.
I agree on both fronts of that. 100%.
He's a wrecking ball. He's blowing through everybody now.
And he's slimmed down a little bit. So, I mean, so he's a little more agile too. And he's just,
right. He looks better
overall. Yeah. Overall, like, he just doesn't seem like he's, like, when he started, he was a good wrestler, but he just seems like he's finally putting it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool to see, especially, you know, like, Lana's gotten it a little more together as well, where her promos before were really good. I mean, they don't have her talking quite as much.
Right.
Which I don't know why, because she's a damn good mic worker, but Rusev looks like a legitimate, he looks like a certified G and a bona fide stud.
Yeah, I mean, I was absolutely delighted in this match. And it was, I really liked that Zack Ryder came down in Sting's 1991 jacket from Bash at the Beach. I thought that was a huge plus.
And then Ultimate Warriors 1991 Royal Rumble attire.
Yeah, it was awesome. And cool. This was not a great match by any stretch. This wasn't a bad match. This was exactly what these both men needed. And it keeps Zack Ryder on the front page, staying relevant, looking good. You know, Mojo Rawley coming down, you know, and whatnot, being a member of the Hype Bros, maybe bringing that tag team up. All in all, this looks good. And I think that this was exactly what both men needed in order to maintain the relevance that they are, that they have right now.
I'm shocked that Zack Ryder was given the opportunity to actually have a legitimate match.
Yeah.
With Rusev.
I mean, this was like a 7-8 minute match. Like, these guys went for a little bit, and there were some false finishes, and, you know, Zack Ryder breaking out of the original iteration of the Accolade before being put in that one that's more of like a rear naked choke almost, but it, you know, still a rear chin lock, but it was cool. I mean, it was a good match for Zack Ryder, and I really hope that something happens with him going forward.
I do too, and I kind of hope that they don't throw them in the tag team together. I'm thinking that maybe they will at first, just to help kick off that tag team division for SmackDown. I'm not a huge Hype Bros fan. I like both of them, but it seems like Zack Ryder is kind of going in a little bit of a different direction than Mojo.
It's possible, but like we were talking about, that tag team division needs work. So if the Hype
right.
Bros are going to be a thing, like, that's fine. It's not like we're losing out by having them as a tag team. I just hope that they don't throw, like, Mojo Rawley in singles with Rusev. To me, that's like throwing a guppy to a shark, and the fans aren't going to buy it. The fans are going to be all on Rusev's side for this. So I think it's just going to be about creative booking at this point to keep Rusev still looking like this mammoth that can demolish anything in front of him, which I hope he does. I would love it if he was the United States champion for the next year. Like, I can't see anybody in my head being good enough to take that belt from him. I can't.
No, unless they bring a certain gold medalist back.
Sure.
For the hell of it.
So the next match, this is the big one. This was the 5-star. This was the absolute show stealer. JBL was correct in saying, somebody please call the police, because these two men just stole the show. It was Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens in what was billed as their last match, the end of their feud. Please, God, don't let it stop. Let it just be this all the time. Because this was... Okay, in short, this match disproved the last 5 years of sports entertainment, I guess, if you want to call it that. This was pure wrestling that told a story in the match that had the fans on their feet, chanting, screaming. They got a standing ovation 10 minutes into this match.
Yep.
For how much they had blown the doors off the place. They innovated that brain buster, you know, reminiscent of El Generico's old brain buster finisher. You know, the brain buster on the outside of the ring. Everything about this match was gorgeous. The Helluva kick and, you know, Kevin Owens collapsing into Sami Zayn's arms and Sami holding him and looking at his former best friend and, you know, slumping him back onto the turnbuckles before giving him a second Helluva kick to get the 1-2-3. It was storytelling at its finest. And I don't know what the hell it is about Sami Zayn, aside from being a flawless worker and having zero holes in his wrestling game. But his match with Cesaro, 5-star match, match of the year. His match with Nakamura earlier this year, 5-star match, match of the year. His match with Owens last night, 5-star match, match of the year. Is there a trend here, or am I missing something?
No, Sami Zayn puts on a hell of a show. And I think what Sami Zayn does better than... 98% of the wrestlers now is he can tell a story. Like, wrestling has gotten so fast paced and mm-hmm. to where a lot of the guys just forget, and it's, you know, it's not really to their to the wrestler and the performer's fault. But a lot of, you know, with the advertisements and all the stuff that are going on, but they just don't have the time to tell a full story, it seems like, a lot of these times. And Sami Zayn has, I mean, he should just be an author. Like,
yeah.
I mean, the guy tells stories like it's nobody's business. You know, he's a New York Times bestseller.
I don't know. That's correct. That's the best way to put it. You said it all. I mean, this match was, it's everything you love about wrestling. And I almost feel like they looked at this match and they said, Raw, that's what we're going to go for now. You know, because that's what it was. Tonight on Raw, the matches told the stories.
Yeah,
I was fulfilled by the wrestling tonight. And, you know, I'll drudge up the Attitude Era, because a lot of people, they act like it's hallowed ground. And there was a lot of great wrestling going on back there. And there was a lot of awesome storytelling. But they understood that to supplement great storytelling, you needed excellent wrestling. And that is what this match did. You have two guys who can work the mic, who can run a good storyline. We were best friends. I was your best man at your wedding. I'm the godfather of your child. You turned your back on me for for the NXT championship. You've been nothing but a thorn in my side since. You're jealous. No, you're jealous. No, you're a terrible friend, blah, blah, blah. These guys worked it from every single angle. I would not be remotely surprised if these guys were named PWI's feud of the year. I wouldn't even be shocked. It would be like, yep, you're right. That's exactly who it should be.
It absolutely, there's no question. The only one, in my opinion, that would even that could be a distant number two would be Finn Balor's Mojo, and that's a distant two, and that's a hell of a feud.
There was so much build. This is the fruition of 2 years of Ring of Honor feuds, then coming to NXT, feuding in NXT for months and months and months before moving up to the main roster. This is Sami Zayn eliminating Kevin Owens at the Royal Rumble. And this is Sami Zayn causing Kevin Owens' defeat at WrestleMania, where Zack Ryder became the Intercontinental Champion that night. This is all of it. This match was everything. This is 20 minutes in 2 years. It was glorious. And this is what you hope to get, because wrestling at its core is what puts butts in chairs. It's not the story. It's bad soap opera. There's never been a wrestling story outside, in my opinion at least, of the NWO and Stone Cold Steve Austin that genuinely was good TV. It was fun TV, and it was exciting TV, and it was incredibly emotional TV. But, Game of Thrones, The Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, Mad Men, that is good TV. Wrestling is exciting TV. It's interesting TV. It's captivating TV. But what the core of wrestling is can be summed up in 18 minutes and 22 seconds between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. And that's a product that makes you feel everything. The highs, the lows, the emotional swings. This was wrestling. And seeing it last night was the most satisfying thing I've seen in a very long time on a WWE card. That's my piece about that, at least. So
that sums it up for me.
Thank you. You said it all, man. So to follow that up, the unfortunate task falls upon Natty and Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch has become the Bray Wyatt of the women's division. She's awesome. Everybody loves her. She gets the most ridiculous pops. Crowd reactions are huge. Can't win a friggin' match. Doesn't matter. But it almost felt like this was a squash, kind of. Like, Natty just kind of ran roughshod over Becky Lynch.
Yeah, so my thing with Natty is she's a phenomenal wrestler. I was actually I was talking to Sarah Lee from Tough Enough yesterday for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we were texting back and forth during the match. And I was like, I can't buy Natty as a heel. I just can't.
She's
too nice.
It's her social media presence too. Like, she's like, yeah, always so, she puts these like beautiful selfies of herself and, you know, with inspirational things for women everywhere. And, you know, she's very encouraging of women on Twitter. And she posts pictures of her cat, Two Paws, who has his own Instagram, which I might call. You know, she has this wonderful husband. She's a heart. I mean, when Bret Hart was a heart, was a heel, it was, you know, he had to play the most basis of you know, heat generating machines, which is I hate America. And that was how you get Bret Hart to be a heel.
Right. And it's, you know, some of the stuff that Natty says is just like, what did she say? She's like, oh, I love Becky Lynch. She's so beautiful. And like, you have her in a headlock. Like, that doesn't even, that.
Yeah, it's just, okay, so this was a fine match. I mean, it was good for both women. Becky always looks great. Natty gets a win, gets to go in to the new, you know, to the brand split looking strong. You know, they gave these women like almost 10 minutes, but this was at its core a squash match where Natty beats Becky. But this was also a cooling off period match because this and then the follow up, which was Miz versus Darren Young for the Intercontinental title. Listen, I'm going to talk about that match for 2 seconds. For weeks, I've been saying, hey, you know, it would be sweet if Darren Young looked at his hand like a crazy person and put somebody in a crossface chicken wing. And I'm going to say, Certain Armstrong might have been listening. I don't know. Might have been like, that's a dang good idea. And guess what? I don't know, man. Darren Young staring at his hand like a crazy person, putting people in chicken wings. And Bob Backlund, who took the worst bump I've ever seen in the history of bump taking, it was delightful. This match was stupid, mind you. This was not good television. But I got what I wanted out of it, which was a crazy ass Darren Young. So we're in. We're going for the long haul. We're gonna get crazy Darren Young from now on.
Yep. And I'm cool with that too.
Cheers. So next, the co-main event, John Cena, Enzo, and Cass against the club, Carl, Luke, and AJ. This was a good match for the club. Club looked good in this match. I know they lost, but this was a damn good looking match for the club. AJ looked great. Carl Anderson looked great. Luke Gallows looked great. Enzo Amore delivers another. You just don't know when it's going to stop. Like, you don't know. Like, every week you're like, Enzo Amore just delivered the best promo I've ever heard in my life. And then a week later, you're like, Enzo Amore just delivered the best promo I've ever heard in my entire life. The guy is just put him in the Hall of Fame now. Just put him in the Hall of Fame. First ballot.
Right. I text Road Dogg during that promo. And I said, brother, you got Enzo's officially in the same class as you.
Yep. It's not even close. I mean,
and he texted me back and said, he's already light years ahead of me, man.
Yeah. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. You know, the match was good. It was a John Cena match. Big rally at the end. Kind of a scary moment whenever AJ took what looked like a sort of, I don't want to say botch, but it took a tough landing off that attitude adjustment off the top rope. But you know, this was what it needed to be. Enzo and Cass and John Cena all getting over. It was very expected. I did not expect the club to win this match, and it's good because AJ gets to now separate himself, move on to the SmackDown roster, and Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows can do their thing on Raw.
And they did.
I ain't mad. But the finale was exactly what it needed to be. This was Dean Ambrose versus Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. I was talking to a friend of mine. He made a great point. He said, Ambrose is 100% winning this match. And I said, yeah, I think so too. And he goes, you know, you've got the two guys from Raw and the one guy from SmackDown. SmackDown needs to come out giving you a reason to watch it on Tuesday. And I'm like, yep, you're right. And so Dean Ambrose winning this match, from a fan standpoint, it's awesome because everybody loves Dean Ambrose. He's probably the favorite out of these three men. Roman Reigns wasn't winning this match because, unfortunately, you can't do drugs and then win a title when you get back. And then Seth Rollins, you knew he was going to be the man on Raw, so it only makes sense for Dean Ambrose to win this match. But this was a great match for all three guys. All of them looked off the chain incredible. This was definitely the Shield match that I've wanted for a very long time.
Yeah, it was a tremendously worked match. There, I mean, they had, you know, they had their hands on the strings of your heart there, and you know, they set up Roman, Dean and Seth set up Roman, throw him through the table, and you're like, oh my God, that's cool. And then Seth pulls up the chair and hits Dean in the back, a la when he turned on them initially. Mm-hmm. Like, man, everything was just, it was done wonderfully.
I was pleased. I'm
glad that Roman took the fall.
He did. Roman's taking his lumps. I mean, he's going to be taking his lumps for a while. And I think that's going to build character. But eventually, I think the losses are going to mount up, and that's where we're going to get the heel turn.
I'm hoping so. I really am. He needs it. He looks a little more badass with the beard, too.
Yeah, I mean, and some of his mannerisms, like, we'll talk about it in a little bit about the main event. Some of his mannerisms, are becoming slightly more heelish. The way that he's looking in the ring, the intensity, all of it, I think, is going to lead us to him being a heel. I think we're just on that road now as it goes.
We'll see if they slow burn us or what.
Well, they're slow burn.
But yeah, we'll see. That could be the John Cena slow burn. That never happens.
We got hoes, Tommy. We got hoes. All right, let's talk about Raw. You ready?
What the hell of a show.
This was a great Raw. Social media saying this is the best Raw of the year. Do you agree?
I would 100% agree. I have one bad thing to say about Raw, and that's the name of the new title.
Yeah. Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe. That's what it is.
That's honestly the only bad thing I have to say about the entire show. It's the show started off with Stephanie and Mick in the ring, giving a little speech. They bring out everybody from the roster. But it wasn't super long. It wasn't very long. So it was okay. It wasn't your typical 25, 30 minute Stephanie McMahon promo to open Raw. It was quick, decisive, to the point, got everything across and made the matches. It showed, you know, it highlighted some people. And I thought it was great.
It was a very strong opening. And, you know, two fatal four-way matches. So right off the bat, you know we're going to get some good wrestling, especially when they throw the names out there. Sami Zayn, huge. Sheamus, huge. Chris Jericho, huge. Cesaro, huge. Roman, Rusev, Kevin Owens, and the number 5 overall pick, Finn Balor. They're making waves, boys.
Yeah, they are.
They're making waves.
Oh, but not to be outdone by having Charlotte defend her women's championship against the boss.
Well, holy Boss. Listen, you tapped out last night. Sorry, you lost. Guess what? You're going up against Sasha Banks. And this is setting a precedent right now. And you know, a part of me, do I subscribe to the old WCW philosophy where when they went under, a lot of people had made the comments, well, this is not good for a product longevity, you know?
I think it is. Why wouldn't it be?
Because a lot of people feel like you're giving it away for free.
No, you don't don't do it all the time. But this is the very first live Raw. Why not? Or not live Raw, but you know what I mean? It's the post-draft Raw. You got to keep those ratings up. You remember what Vince McMahon used to say? Anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation. That's been out of the window for like 15 years.
Well, we're back.
Like nothing. Yeah, like before this, like honestly, like tell me, when was the last time an important title changed hands on Raw?
Yeah, that one time. You were there.
But you know what I mean? It doesn't happen. Yeah, sure, like good moments and stuff have happened, but that's what Raw's for. Raw's supposed to be must-see TV. the last few months, it's getting better and better. And now this show makes next Monday absolutely must see television.
Oh yeah, it was good.
Absolutely,
it was delicious. So, you know, it sucks for you, Charlotte. Like, enjoy. You have to wrestle tonight against Sasha the Boss Banks. And the fans and Mark's cheer. And my name is Mark, so it's cool. I'll take it. So the night kicks off with the straight up. Like, we're not messing around. Like, you're going to get Rusev versus Owens versus Balor versus Cesaro. Go.
Right from the get-go.
Enjoy.
Yep.
Enjoy. And this is, again, and I like pointing this out, this is the trend that they've been carrying on the last few months. Kick the show off with a ridiculous wrestling match. Get the crowd worked into a frenzy. Hot show. Make everybody interested from the get-go. Set them on fire, and that's what they did. And you had these four guys put on a bleeding clinic of outrageously good wrestling. Remember, the big part of this, if you win, you get to go to SummerSlam.
And, well, if you win the match, then you go against the winner of the other one.
Ultimately. So you have to win. Yeah. What's at stake here is Seth Rollins at the end of the rainbow.
For what? Oh, the WWE Universal Championship.
Yeah.
You think that's going to stick?
I mean, this match, though, was just ridiculous. Like, it was outrageous. There were so many. I thought Kevin Owens was going to win this match. I did. I really, based on the pacing at the end, I felt like it was coming. But Balor stealing it and, hitting the coup de grace at the end, like, come on, kid, you've arrived. Like, this is it. Finn Balor double booked and blew the friggin' doors off the place tonight.
And looked great doing it. One thing that I really enjoyed, I enjoyed Sami Zayn not being in the match with Kevin Owens. As much as I love their feud, I like that they separate them from time to time, because anytime there's been a fatal four-way or a six-pack challenge or three people or five people or whatever, it's always the same group of people. It's always Cesaro versus Owens versus Zayn versus throw in another name or another two names, and then that's always been it. And I like that it was separated this time. I like that you took these guys that had the best match of the year the night before, last night, and you separated them, and they were not in the same match together. Like, wow. So you're telling me that you took these guys, had a phenomenal match, put them in separate matches, and then they both had phenomenal matches again.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say about them?
I don't know. It's just phenomenal. You know, I've now want to sing the AZ style theme song.
Yes.
Nobody's breaking this redneck. I'm serious.
But it was so, the whole match was so damn good.
It was. It was outrageous. This not only did it start the show off on a great note, it set the tone for the entire rest of the evening, which is awesome, because it really puts you in a good place mentally. When a show kicks off this way, it's a high. You're like, okay, now what are you going to give me? Like, what's going to get me there next? Like, you're chasing the dragon at this point. You're like, you know, what's going to give me the next fix of awesomeness? And they didn't really slow down. I mean, yeah, you have Nia Jax versus, I don't remember her name. Brittany Baker.
Brittany Baker, that's what it was. Yeah.
You know, and there was a little thing that Metzler had reported, like WWE is going to start implementing more squash matches to, sort of like when Raw first started. You guys remember back when Raw first started in 93? You know,
all it was.
That's all it was, is it was The Undertaker versus Joe Schmo from Podunk, United States. And he would tombstone them, and that's how you got people over. And that was a big thing back then. So when something happens, like, I'll give you two great examples. When Razor Ramon wrestled the Lightning Kid, who you know better now as the 1-2-3 kid, Sean Waltman, that was a huge moment. This was Razor Ramon versus some nobody knew who the Lightning kid was back then. So when he won, it turned everything upside down. Now you have a legitimate feud / storyline to write. And another one that has an outrageous implication is a guy named Hugh Morris wrestling some random named Bill Goldberg. Remember that?
Absolutely.
Like a Saturday night, WCW Saturday night. And what happened? Bill Goldberg jackhammers Bill DeMott, and it changes the world of wrestling entirely. So these squash matches, there's always a point to them. It's, yes, they help get certain talent over, like Nia Jax against Britt Baker, but at the same time, down the line, squash matches create the opportunity for a tremendous surprise. So I love them.
I'm cool with them because I haven't seen them for the longest time. I mean, realistically, over the last few years, our squash matches had Zack Ryder and Jack Swagger. And
yeah, like, how are we supposed to take you seriously as a competitor when, you know, okay, great, I'm watching you on Main Event, but you've lost every matchup you've ever had on Raw and SmackDown. It doesn't mean anything at that point. It's enhancement talent. It's what was, railing against, that you're taking these guys, you're forcing them to lose and then pay them significantly less. And it's making people miserable. That's why I love squash matches. So now instead of a guy like Ryback, who I'm supposed to believe Ryan Reeves, 6'4", 6'5", 280 pounds of chiseled muscle is going to go out there and just get speared by Roman Reigns and lose in 5 minutes. Like that's ridiculous. Like enhancement talent changes that dynamic. And I think that having it, especially now that your brand has been cut in half, is a huge, huge boon to making people more credible down the line. And there was another squash later that we'll talk about. But before that, Chris Jericho versus Roman versus Sammy versus Sheamus. I don't think this was as good as the first Fatal 4-Way. What do you think?
No, it wasn't. It was a good match, but no, it couldn't hold a candle to the first match. I was still impressed, but you got to look at the guys that are in the match. Like Sheamus, that's not his style, right? Like he doesn't mesh well with Sami Zayn, for instance. Now Sami Zayn, and I'm not saying that they couldn't put on a good match, but their styles are totally different. So automatically by default, like Kevin Owens he's like I'm going to use a Pokemon reference. He's like Ditto. He'll just mimic whatever you do. Right?
Yeah. That's a good reference. I like that. That made me happy.
We're all happy. We're all happy campers.
But yeah, good match. But I think the moment that Finn Balor won this match, I didn't matter who was in the next match. Like in a perfect world, Sami Zayn wins that match. And they're just like, here you go, guys. Here's a finale that is going to blow the doors off of everything from top to bottom. But I think we all kind of knew Roman Reigns was going to win this match. And, there were two things that go along with this. There's the setup. Do we, SummerSlam with Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins, tried and true. Very, they always put on good matches. Or is Finn Balor going to win this and it's going to shock the world? Is this going to show, hey, WWE isn't kidding around? Like, when they say new direction, when they say we're going to do something special and different, maybe they weren't kidding. And shoot, it looks like, I guess we'll get to that in the end. No spoilers yet. But I don't know. We'll see. But next up, New Day comes out. They hype Bootios being that delicious old cereal. They hype the fact that they are the longest reigning tag team champions of the modern era, which, by the way, Demolition held those belts for like a combined like 780 days. So good luck, man. You got a long time to go.
Yeah, that's doubtful.
Yeah, I'm just saying, yeah, to make it 470 more days, then we'll talk. But I think the real statement that was made here is the fact that, the club, Anderson and Gallows, came out and just beat the living hell out of them.
Which is good, because this is what they need. This is what the club, Anderson and Gallows, needed this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with it. I would like to see them take out New Day. If anybody's going to take the titles off New Day, I would like it to be them. They need it. I mean, they've been... Have they won a match? They've won what? One match, I want to say?
They've won more than that. They've won a few more than that. But they've also been involved in a lot of three-way matches and a lot of those sort of like gimmicky type thing. They haven't really ever had a chance to stand on their own.
Yeah. I do like, I don't know if you noticed it, but I do like how Finn Balor in his first match was throwing up the old club sign.
Oh yeah, like, he was doing it.
Like he wasn't even being discreet about it, which was interesting because while he was doing it, it went unnoticed generally. I can't recall commentators saying anything about it.
They did.
And I do know that when he was in the ring and it was super visible, the camera would either cut or they would zoom up on his face to cut off his fingers.
Right.
So, who knows?
Yeah, I guess. Hey, just planting those seeds.
Just gotta water them flowers.
Just water them flowers. So then, after the New Day just gets obliterated, we get Neville versus Curtis Axel, and Neville's back. How do you feel about this? Feel good about this, right?
Yeah, I like Neville. I still think he's. I'm hoping that they just put him in the cruiserweight division when they open that up on Raw.
Oh yeah.
Because he's kind of out of place, right? Like he's
right,
and like okay, so who's he feuding with before Wade Barrett, right?
Yep.
And you're like okay, so we can't let Barrett lose because he does nothing but lose, and we don't want him to look weak because we want him to feud with Neville, but we can't have Neville lose because he's new, and you're like okay, so. And then Neville started feuding with Jericho.
Yep.
So, I mean, Neville's in a tough place. You put him in the cruiserweight division. If they're putting on hell, you know, if they're putting on a hell of a match, it doesn't matter.
They're going to. If the Cruiserweight Classic is any indication of what we are to expect.
Oh, yeah.
It is going to be a good harvest because the people that they're bringing in for this as well, the people they've offered contracts to and whatnot, we're in for some serious, serious wrestling if this happens. I'm excited. But he beats on old Curtis Axel. Sometimes, you know, the Axeman just has to take a red arrow. You know, you train Brock Lesnar and The Rock when they come back and your payment is you get a very short intercontinental title run, they change your name, and then you get to eat red arrows.
Which is fine.
I miss Axelmania, but we can't do that anymore because Hulk Hogan had a sex tape, so it kind of ruined that.
I don't even think it's the sex tape that ruined it.
I think it was the comments at the end. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's probably the slurs. Probably did a good job killing that. All right, well, anyhow, let's move on. Sponsored by AT&T. So we're going to talk about Charlotte and Sasha.
This match went three segments.
Huh? What? Did this happen? Was this the real thing?
Yep. It was an absolutely phenomenal match.
Sasha can't win a title without crying, though, because she cried at the end of this. And Charlotte is crying. And, you know, so on level one, as Charlotte, you know, the character, she's crying because she lost her belt. She's being a sore loser. On level two, this is a woman that came up with her. She's crying because she's crying for her friend. And that's why,
right.
And that's why she's crying. And they're trying to be like, oh, she lost her belt. She's crying. Knowing full well that Ashley Flair is crying because one of her dear friends, Mercedes, just won a belt.
Yep.
and it's like, that's why I love this division. And now, hopefully, this is that, okay, we had the Divas Revolution. It was going great. Yeah, it stalled for a while. 200 days of stalling, just about. But now we're back. Yeah, exactly. Now we're getting back in. We got Nia Jax. We've got Alexa Bliss. We've got all sorts of awesome things potentially happening in the future. We had our glimpse of Bayley. Now we've got a new women's wrestling champion in Sasha Banks. The crowd loses their mind for this. This is it.
Oh,
like, this was your WrestleMania moment. We were screwed out of it at WrestleMania.
Right, we were.
We got it.
Crowd went bananas for the longest time.
Hey, backstabber, bank statement. I tell. And you know what I also really, really dig? I like the kind of, like, the little interviews you're doing outside of the ring now. You know,
yeah,
like, with Todd Phillips and Byron Saxton coming up to the competitors afterwards. What do you feel? How you feel about this? Sasha Banks, I told you all I would do it. And perfect. Thank you. I love you.
Yep. Well, I mean, and then we can touch on that real quick, too. They really went all out for this brand split. I mean, they got the new logos. They got the new stage set. I don't know if SmackDown stage set's going to be similar, if it's going to be different. I mean, they got the new theme song. They had different camera angles. The commentary desk was in a different spot. Like, they really changed everything.
I hate Shinedown. I hate Shinedown. So I'm not going to lie about that. I'm not pleased about Shinedown.
Well, the editing was god awful for that song too. Whoever should be fired.
I'm not worried about that. That'll get better. That'll evolve with time. But yeah, you know, this is where borrowing from your friends, using those Ring of Honor type angles, the above the rings, the longer side views, the diagonals, you know, the turnbuckle cameras. That is the kind of stuff that makes you feel like you're more ingrained in the action. And that's kind of what you've been seeing them doing in NXT for a little bit. You're seeing it in the Cruiserweight Classic as well. It was, you know, they're not screwing around right now. And I think that's, you know, and once we talk about the main event, then we'll expand on that further. It is very clear that what I had said a few months ago, that this draft was going to be the legitimate reset button. This was their chance to say, to create it. Everything you've been doing, we can stop it now. We don't have to worry about it anymore. We can rebuild from the ground up. We know what they want now. We can start giving them that. I think that is, it's very clear to me at this point that is what is happening, because tonight was severely, severely indicative of them saying, all right, we can fix this. Like, we know we broke, we messed up. We couldn't go back and change it then, but now we are certainly going to be able to start giving you the product that you deserve.
Yep. And I liked it because it did 100% feel like its own brand. It really did. Like, I'm so interested to see what happens tomorrow, and I hope that the presentation's a little different. I hope the stage is different. Just set it apart. And it's weird because even when the brand split wasn't at its finest back in the original brand split,
mm-hmm.
like, you just think about, you're like, you know what? Like, I'll use the 2003 era, where that was probably one of the lowest points, but that was still kind of interesting when you think about it. So you got, man, so you have these separate pay-per-views and shows are run differently, and, you know, like, SmackDown was... Teddy Long wasn't there yet, but, you know, there were not tag team matches against The Undertaker, or one-on-one, sorry. But it was awesome. I loved how they had that dynamic, and then they finally got together, you know, for the big pay-per-views, and it would be split mm-hmm. shows. And I thought that was awesome, and I'm glad that we're going to start getting that again.
I think now, carry ticket. Like, you can take the best parts from it. And you can get rid of the stuff that was kind of bland and not successful. So I think that that's the benefit of history, is that we can look at it and say, okay, we know what works. We now know what doesn't work. So let's start putting more of an emphasis on the things that do work rather than what hasn't been working in the past.
Right.
So fix it.
Damn it. Lest I stop watching. Just kidding. I have a radio show. I don't like wrestling too much.
Although I believe would stop for Pokemon.
I would, yeah. I mean, if you were like, well, bro, Mark, let's not do the show tonight, and instead let's go play Pokemon Go. I'd be like, Danny, yeah, that sounds great. But, you know, here we are.
I didn't live in BFE.
Gross. Gross. Worst house decision ever.
Imagine somebody goes to you, hey, do you want to get your house on the moon while everybody lives on Earth? And you're like, yeah, all right, I guess I'll live on the moon. But, like, everybody does stuff on Earth, and you're like, eh, I kind of want to go to Earth. Okay, sounds fun.
So you still live in BFE, so you can't?
Yeah, I agree.
It's okay. So, anywho, Braun Strowman versus the default when you're going to start creating a character on, like, you know, the WWE games on the PS2.
But with a lot of pockmarks.
No chin. The guy had no chin whatsoever. He was terrifying, like, to look at. And
he even got interviewed, though.
He had a tattoo. He had a sweet tattoo. He had a cool tattoo.
But, Braun Strowman came out with the everything looked the same, except
yep.
He didn't have the mask.
Yep.
I mean, I try to remember, like, Batista. You know, like, when he was running with Devon and he was Deacon Batista, and then he kind of split off into his own thing, like, he didn't really change super much.
Right.
You know, he was still kind of the same at first before they really were like, oh, we've got something excellent on our hands. So that's when I would, you know, start to – whenever we can see that there are actual dividends that are going to be paid from having Braun Strowman in a singles run, that's when I think you'll start to see the changes come. But for right now, James Ellsworth, man, he got beat down, just got walloped with a sweet finisher.
The finisher was awesome.
The reverse chokeslam. Who else did a reverse chokeslam finisher? Anybody? I can't remember anybody who has done that.
I don't know. I can't recall. So I had to rewind it so I could watch it again. I was like, wow, that was pretty impressive.
I don't know. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head.
Who do you see Braun feuding with?
Okay, so I don't know off the top of my head who this guy feuds with. I think that's a very difficult question because he hasn't shown anything yet. I mean, like, look at Ryback, for example. Like, when Ryback was, you know, Feed Me More, when he had first burst onto the scene and all he did was beat up jobbers, they didn't really have anything to do with him. It took months of him beating up jobbers before they actually put him in a feud with somebody.
I'd like to see him challenge Rusev.
I think that would be very interesting. I think he's probably physically, in terms of card allocation, probably the only one of very few logical choices to be somebody to challenge Rusev.
Yeah.
I see
and
guys
Glenn
like Sami
like
Zayn challenging Rusev, though. I think Sami Zayn makes a lot of sense, the ultimate underdog, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I like Sami Zayn as a potential. But I think that there is a very short list of guys who could challenge him. And I think Braun Strowman is probably the top of that list, followed by guys like Sami Zayn, maybe Kevin Owens. I don't know other than that.
I like it, though. Strowman, he looked good. I was worried about him. But
I think a lot of people worried about him. You know, that match he had on Raw in the main event a few months ago, that de-pushed the bejesus out of him. There's nowhere to go from there with that. It was just that bad. So I don't think that it made logical sense for him to do anything other than wait for this, you know, brand to split up before he could, you know, finally go on his own. And maybe, you know, maybe the couple extra months of training helped him out. I don't know.
Well, he did get a haircut, though.
He did, yeah.
Shaved the sides of his head, and now he seems to be a much better wrestler, which is strange.
Yeah,
but
it was
accurate.
Like, it was, we know how to rebuild him. We have fixed him.
His
haircut makes no sense. He looks ridiculous. I don't know what they did to him. Why'd they do that?
Well, everything about him looks ridiculous, though.
So. Shave his beard, shave his head.
He's
a gargantuan of a man. There isn't a metric for Braun Strowman in the realm of what people have looked like in WWE history. Like, is there anybody with a body type or a frame that is reminiscent of what Braun Strowman looks like?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, I think of guys like A-Train, you know, like Matt Bloom. Like, this guy makes him look tiny. Or am I exaggerating?
No, he's. I mean, I always thought the Tensai was big, Bloom or Albert or whatever. I always thought that he was big up until I would see him tagging with Brodus Clay.
Right, Brodus Clay's probably the closest you would get to. Maybe not even Brodus though.
Well, because Brodus is tall, but Brodus is more hefty.
Yeah.
I'll be a little PC for him. But I remember I met Brodus at a baseball game in Miami, and we were walking through the hallway, and I got to talk to him just for a couple of seconds before he got mobbed by other people. And he's not much, he wasn't much taller than I was, and I'm I'm 6 foot.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess, yeah, when you think about it like that, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying. But, you know, like, at the end of the match, Braun lowered the straps. And, like, I don't know if that's supposed to be significant or if I'm reading into it too much. But, like, is that him, like, saying, like, yeah, I'm done with this, like, the Wyatt thing, you know?
Maybe. Or I drink water. Jesus. See, I'm so thirsty. I need to take my headache pills here. he's maybe that's gonna be his thing, like Kurt Angle does. You know, after he's done, just throw him down. Who knows?
Yeah, fair enough.
It's new. It's new and it's interesting and it's exciting.
Braun Strowman is very exciting. All right, Danny, go get your water and get your headache pills. I got it. It's fun.
I'll return after this commercial break.
There's no commercial break, really, folks. It's just Danny going to get water. But what I'll do is we can talk about Enzo and Big Cass versus the Shining Stars of Puerto Rico. So when this happens, how you doing? Like when this match happens, like it's Enzo versus the Shining Stars. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean? That's who it is. It's Enzo and Big Cass versus the Shining Stars. The Shining Stars have been on Raw once, where they stole Total Elimination. Okay, they stole it. Stolen Valor, stolen Total Elimination. And I think that they've been on like Main Event a couple times. But mostly it's just been vignettes of them like saying how stupid America is and how great Puerto Rico is, but forgetting that Puerto Rico is a commonwealth. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're trying to be ironic. I just don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand. But Enzo and Cass, you know, they're going to beat them down pretty bad. And what happens to the Golden Truth? They're playing Pokemon Go. They're the pincer in the ring. We don't know. Somebody thinks they saw Andretti. Got to go after it. Got to go get it. The Shining Stars get distracted. Big Cass hits that big old boot. 1, 2, 3. That's a great push you have there, Shining Stars. It would be a shame if something happened to it.
I hate the Shining Stars.
They stole Total Elimination.
I mean, not only that, but I don't like them. I don't like Primo. I don't like Epico or Fernando and Jose or whatever the hell their names were as Los Matadors. They weren't Primo and Epico when they were the Matadors.
Oh, Fernando and, whatever.
Diego. Fernando and Diego. Yeah. But I don't like, I've never liked them. The only time I ever liked Primo is when he was tagging with Carlito.
Yep.
It's the only time.
That was a good tag team.
Well, to me, because that tag team was very reminiscent of Chavo and Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was cool. And no pun intended, I was cool with that.
Do you spit in the face of people who don't like that?
I do. But I shake hands with people that don't like the Shining Stars.
Mm.
Like, how stupid is that gimmick? Like, okay, so Rusev has an anti-American gimmick, right? And, you know, Russia is so much better, and then I'm going to lose Lana, so now I'm back to Bulgaria, but it's still so much better. But he's, like, anti-American. Like, I hate Americans. I don't like you. And then you got these guys coming out here going, smell our hibiscus and come to our island.
Right. Yeah. It's one of the most delicious drinks on the planet.
Like,
what do you mean the drinks
no.
are delicious? What do you mean that the drinks are delicious? Is that what we're selling here? The drinks are delicious? What are you trying to do?
Come to Puerto Rico.
To Puerto Rico. Why wasn't Darren Young on, like, Raw tonight?
I don't know. He kind of was.
Why wasn't Darren Young looking at his hands and putting a referee in his cross-faced chicken wing?
I think he'll be out there next week. I bet he will.
Hmm.
We need to see Darren Young lose his mind.
I need him to.
I hope
okay, whatever, fine. Whatever. Maybe I'm fixating. I don't know. So, yeah. They ain't winning that match. Nope. So, yeah, Enzo and Cass are hot in the friggin' sun right now. Like, I there's no way that they lose that match. I'm sorry. There's no. But
I don't understand why they needed the Golden Truth interference, though.
I wasn't more the interference. I think it was just the fact that they were paying attention to the fact that they were playing Pokemon Go. And, I think that that's all it was. I don't think it was interference per se. But it might
be
the Shining Stars in a feud with the Golden Truth, which they might have some good matches. They're all good workers. It might get the Shining Stars over a little bit. I'll let it ride. I'll give it time. I'm not going to poo-poo on it yet.
No poo-poo platter for you.
No, it means I'm not going to, like, say it's stupid yet.
I am aware of what that means.
No, you made a stupid joke and I called you out on it. That's all.
No, that's not accurate.
Bad? You feel bad?
That is not accurate. Mr. Hipster, that's not accurate. I win.
How am I a hipster whenever I point out... No, I'm not letting you do this to me again. I'm not a hipster. Shut up. Who's your favorite wrestler of all time? Edge. Shawn Michaels. Oh, you're real cool.
Shawn Michaels. Forever is my favorite wrestler.
Whatever, sheeple. I'm going to watch Jerry Lynn versus Rob Van Dam at Heat Wave in 90. I don't give a crap. Screw you. Watch real wrestling. I'll watch the Cruiserweight Classic again. Tell me what to do. Hipster. What makes me a hipster?
There's
say
a few
it.
Things.
Good. Try me.
We went over this last week. We had like a 15-minute segment on your hipster this last week. I think we dedicated enough time.
Yeah. Tweet at Danny that he's a butthead. Do that.
But I still love you, Mark.
Yeah. I don't want to talk anymore. You can go ahead. Talk about the main event. See what happens to the Golden Voice of Radio in here to help you.
Yeah.
No problem. Talk about Finn Balor for a minute.
Let's do it. So, Finn Balor and Roman Reigns had the main event match. And I was really, really hoping to myself that Roman Reigns was not going to win. But I was thinking to myself that he probably is. I believe I actually texted you. What did I text you, Mark? Let me see. Oh. Get ready. Main event is coming on. Where is it? Jesus, I don't even know where it is. But yeah, main event's coming on. That means either prepare to see Roman Reigns win, or I was hoping that the club would kind of do something. I mean, I thought that there'd be some sort of significance to Finn Balor throwing up the old club sign.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess not. And maybe it's just going to be kind of a slow burn, slow build together. But again, there was no reference to it. So maybe that's just us looking too far into it as it is right now anyway. I mean, the goal tonight was establish Finn Balor.
Right.
And I don't know any other better way to establish Finn Balor than what they did tonight by putting him in that epic Fatal 4-Way match and having him win, and then having him beat, even though he's coming fresh off of a suspension, one of the faces of the WWE, and cement himself to go against the man at SummerSlam for the... for the WWE Universal Championship.
Universal Championship.
Does that just solidify that they're going to open the Hall of Fame at Universal?
Yes. Illuminati confirmed. This match did two things, okay? Number one, you're correct. This set a new face for the WWE. I think that was a very important part of this match, is that if you don't have a star emerge and you have Finn Balor lose his first night on Raw to Roman Reigns, you know, the fans are going to be breaking out their shovels. It's a huge detriment. So, you know, based on what we have come to know and expect and seen in terms of their booking, a part of me was like, you know, something like the club's going to come out and just beat down Roman Reigns, and he's going to win by DQ, and, you know, it'll form the club, but at the same time, Roman Reigns will get that victory. And that's what I was worried about. And I think, you know, I don't think my fear was grossly unfounded based on what we've seen the last few months from Roman Reigns' booking. You know, this is entirely probable that what happened was a atonement. It was, Roman, you got to take your lumps now. We put you as the face of the company, as the guy. You let us down. Now we have to build other people as well, because we are low on star power. So Finn Balor is a very obvious choice. Extremely handsome, one of the most athletic superstars on the entire WWE or NXT roster. It's Finn Balor across the board. So this match was a lot of great back and forth. It was Finn working over Roman's leg. It was both men hitting a lot of spots. Roman exhibiting a ton of his power, you know, with that pickup power bomb that falls into a sit down. But you know what happens when he goes for the spear? He gets caught in Sling Blade. You know, the big drop kick in the corner, followed by the coup de grace. And I mean, Finn Balor beat Roman Reigns in the main event of Raw to go to SummerSlam.
That's huge. That put the exclamation point, the stamp of approval, whatever cliche term you want to use there. But that's what, that just set the precedent, and that set the tone for what Raw is going to be going forward.
This is real. This is not. I'm joking.
Yeah.
This is not real.
It's official.
Finn Balor beat Roman Reigns on Raw the first night of the brand extension to secure a spot against Seth Rollins for the Universal Championship at SummerSlam. Like, this
that
is
has
not
match
real.
Of the year written all over it too.
Like, this is two bona fide, certifiable studs, two men that were indie gods, Tyler Black and, you know, Fergal Devitt. This is two men who can put on five-star matches in their sleep. Capable of putting on matches like you would not believe, about to co-main event a WWE pay-per-view. And what happens here? Theorycraft with me for a minute. What happens here? Who wins this match?
I have absolutely no idea. And I'm wondering if that's where possibly, and I don't want to keep harping on it, but maybe that's where the club gets formed with Finn. Is maybe over the next few weeks, they just have like little run-ins in the locker room. Like they just pass each other in the hallway. You know, just give that kind of like the head shake of acknowledgement. Like, I see
so
you, brother.
The club help him win?
I don't know.
Like, does he become... Like so for a moment, let's think of this. So the club helps him, and Finn Balor becomes the world heavyweight champion, the world universal champion. He wins, and the club
say that without rolling your
off.
Eyes. It's hard.
You know, it'll grow on me. It's fine. I'll be okay. So that's where I'm. You know, that's where I guess I don't want to say confused as much as I'm like. Is this could be like a real thing. Like the club, you know, helps him. He beats Seth Rollins, and now there's almost like a you know, Austin versus Bret Hart, like the double turn in a match. Like
right.
Finn Balor goes from being a good guy to the leader of the club and now Universal Champion. Because you know WWE has shown in the past they are not above doing something different when it comes to new championships. I mean, would you ever have thought years ago that Chris Jericho is not Stone Cold Steve Austin or not The Rock would have been the first unified heavyweight champion?
No, absolutely not.
So I look at somebody like Finn Balor. What if they bet the farm on him and they say, listen, your in-ring abilities, they're untouchable. Nobody can touch you in the ring. We have these two guys, Gallows and Anderson, who now they're about to start feuding with the tag team champions. If this becomes a full-blown feud, Gallows and Anderson will win those belts at SummerSlam. And if they win those belts at SummerSlam and they help Finn Balor and he wins that Universal title, you've officially NWO'd a stable. You hold the World Heavyweight Championship. You hold the Tag Team Championship. There is no limit. That has no ceiling, right?
Yeah. Well, how about AJ taking the title off The Miz? What the hell?
What did their new
Why
shirt,
not?
What did their new shirt say? You know what was the tweet that nobody is safe? What did AJ Styles say? He goes, "You think that the club broke up? No, we just expanded."
Yeah.
You know, and that's a great little thing to put on it. Great little twist. You know that it's not doom and gloom. It's not what people are saying. Like, oh, well, the club's finished. It's over now. I guess we should just pack in. That is not what's happening. You might have the club on two brands. You might have AJ Styles and one or two other people, and you might have Finn Balor leading the Bullet Club division over on Raw with Gallows and Anderson. Like, this isn't, you know, it's not, I think that what AJ Styles did, if it wasn't, given down to him from the marketing team, then it was brilliant. Like,
yes.
Now you've created the speculation, like, okay, wait. What does he mean by that? Like, what do you mean that it's – that, you know, we're expanding? So is there going to be a division of the club on Raw and a division of the club on SmackDown? Like, what is that going to mean for pay-per-views? Are they going to help each other out? Is AJ, the member of the club on SmackDown, going to interfere in the match with Rollins and Balor? And secure a title for them. Is AJ going to win? Like you said, beat the Miz. Like, there are so many variables that were created by a simple statement like we've expanded that now we're looking at the possibility of Finn Balor, not Seth Rollins, not Roman Reigns, moving forward as the face of WWE's Raw division.
So much positive it came out of the show tonight.
Everything about it was incredible.
Like it was, I told you, it was just such a crazy turn of emotions. And we do the show Wednesday with the draft recap, and we're like, yeah, so disappointed. I was so disappointed. And 2 hours later, yeah, I'm so excited. Like, there's so much to look forward to. And then Raw comes, and you're like, my God, there's even more to look forward to. Like, I didn't think it was possible. How crazy is this? And then we got SmackDown tomorrow, and who knows what's going to happen there.
I know. It's like it's like a two-part thing. Like, Raw is just part one. Like, this is a two-part series. If you don't watch SmackDown tomorrow, you're not getting the full picture of what we're supposed to be seeing.
Now, can I tell you that initially I'm much more interested in the Universal title match?
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's uncertain. It's a new title, and it, you know, like, oh man, like, what's it going to look like? How's it going to be? Is Finn Balor actually going to beat Seth Rollins? If Seth Rollins, I don't care who wins. I love both of them. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, I mean, it just, what direction do you want to go? Do we want the club to be a thing? If we want the club to be a thing, that means Finn Balor has to win. That means Seth Rollins has to become the face and Finn Balor become the heel. You don't get it both ways. You don't get to have both men be heels. You know, does that mean you see Seth Rollins working together with Roman Reigns? You know.
Right. What?
So many things.
How about this for a crazy swerve idea? What if Seth Rollins joined the club?
Right. Like, what if he? Yeah, exactly. What if it's Seth Rollins? You know, apparently, right. Like, tonight I was like, almost like, what if it's Roman Reigns? What if they come down and, you know, Roman Reigns is the member of the club? Like, put it up NWO style. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's NWO style right there. Nobody thought it was going to be Hogan. So what
right.
if Roman Reigns is the one that becomes the member of the club? Or Seth Rollins,
yeah.
Like you said. I mean, the club now is your blank canvas. You just have to paint the right picture. And you'll either have the Mona Lisa or you'll have, you know, that stupid picture that hangs on your grandmother's wall that's worth 75 cents. There's so many possibilities with this that if they don't do it correctly, I would be flabbergasted because there's so many avenues you can take that would blow the doors off of what we've been getting for years.
Yep, they need to. I think they've set themselves up so nicely that no matter which way they go, because they have to go one way or the other, no matter which way they go, it's going to be good.
I mean, it's like at this point, it's like in my head, all jokingly, I'm like, you can only fail on purpose at this point. Like, you would actively have to want to fail.
Right.
For this to not have a humongous, cartoonishly large payoff.
And it's true. I mean, hell, we're already counting out Cena and AJ Styles having a feud. Who knows what's going to happen with that? Like,
oh,
we'll
yeah.
find out tomorrow.
There's so many things. We have like just a plethora of possibilities going into this. But tomorrow being SmackDown, what are your expectations? What do you need to see coming out of SmackDown tomorrow?
I think SmackDown is going to come on all cylinders. I think it might even be better than Raw. I don't know how. Because that's a hell of a show for them to try and top. But I think I think they're going to be able to do it. It's just, man, like, I don't know. I think they're going to come out blazing with American Alpha.
Oh, they have to. I think tomorrow is going to be a huge, huge coming out party for them.
You know, you got Ambrose there, who is super, super ridiculously over. I'm hoping maybe even Bray Wyatt challenges him. You know, they had a hell of a feud, at the end of 2014, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a hell of a feud. So why not?
Wouldn't it be nice?
I don't know. There's so many possibilities. I'm so intrigued and interested and excited to see which ways, what the writers and Shane and Daniel Bryan have all built up for SmackDown.
I really do genuinely believe that SmackDown tomorrow, it can't just come out with its best foot forward. It has to come out leaping. It honestly has to be a spectacle tomorrow, the likes of which, you know, SmackDown hasn't put on in years. They really can't. They cannot screw around with this. Like, this, I don't think that I can put enough emphasis on the importance of SmackDown coming out tomorrow and presenting a product reminiscent of, like, you know, you were saying a minute ago, like 2003, like 2002. Like, it has to be the kind of SmackDown that can compete actively with Raw. It's not about being the B show anymore. You know, if I think if Triple H is going to articulate anything to the talent, it has to be like, you are the equal footing of Raw. And yeah, they have 3 hours, but you have a few less talent, you know, like where you're going to get just as much time to tell stories as they are. They just have more people telling stories.
Yep.
You know, so I look at SmackDown, and if I'm Triple H, I tell them, like, you know, this is not WCW Thunder. This is not the SmackDown of old. This is now Raw the other 2 hours, and it is with you as the stars. So now I need them. I actively need them to go out and present the most insane, entertaining, ring-centered program that they possibly can. And they have a lot of the tools to do it, especially with guys like Dean Ambrose, American Alpha, Baron Corbin. There's a lot of guys on that roster that can go out there and tear the doors off of a show, but they have to be allowed to. This cannot be the SmackDown of old. It can't be, I watch Raw this week, I'll watch SmackDown on Hulu or something like that so I can get, like, you know, the 30-minute speed rundown of it. Well, I'll just read the spoilers or whatever, wait for them to upload stuff on YouTube. It can't be that anymore. This has to be SmackDown when The Rock was on it, when Jericho was on it, when Austin, when Angle, when Edge, when these guys were tearing it apart on there. It has to be again. If it's not, it's a waste. And I can't even imagine USA keeping it on their Tuesday night slot at 8 o'clock if it is unable to produce anything resembling important results.
I can't wait. I absolutely cannot wait for it. And we are going live. What are we doing tomorrow? 10:30? 10?
Yeah, probably 10:30. Probably just an hour show, since it's we'll probably do an hour podcast, since it's going to be just a 2 hour show. And tonight we had to do Battleground and a 3 hour Raw, which I think we did swimmingly, mind you.
I'm cool with that.
Swimmingly. But yeah, I'm guessing tomorrow night, folks, around 10:30. Be sure to check us out live if you'd like. If not, of course, you can always check us out. Danny, give them the rundown. We've got iTunes.
Oh, man, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, we're on Amazon, we're all over the place, guys. Facebook, MySpace, not MySpace, Jesus, Twitter, Instagram, well, we could be on MySpace, that's for audio now. We're on SoundCloud, YouTube,
Make sure you get us on your downloads, because there's lots of awesome stuff coming. If tonight in Battleground and tomorrow, hopefully, knock on wood, are any indication, this show is going to go into nitro mode, because, I mean, you know, in the past, you're talking about trying to talk about shows and sell them based on the fact that you just love wrestling. Now we might be entering that APOC. So I'm just saying, keep yourselves tuned in to Midcard All-Stars. And as always, stay fanatics. We will see you tomorrow night.